what it's all about. Amen. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought what you shall say, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or withal shall we be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for it, things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man. That's pretty powerful right there. And maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Verse 7, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Notice the New Living Translation of Jeremiah 17:10. I'm going to preach a lot from Jeremiah 17:10. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Tonight is lesson 3 of our sermon series, The Seeds of Stewardship. We'll end next Wednesday, Brother Drozdik will close it out. And the first two are already on the webcast. And so we do this at Revival Tabernacle once a year, always in January. We talk about stewardship. And so tonight I'm going to talk about the seeds of stewardship. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Word of the Lord tells us that the Lord tries the heart. He tries the reins, even to give according to every man according to the fruit of his doing. A seed is a place of beginning. A seed is an offspring. A seed is a source. A seed is preserved for growing. The seed doesn't grow unless it's in the ground. Somebody say amen. Amen. A steward is the responsible overseeing of something considered with care and preserving. It's a person who acts as the surrogate or a manager of anything that has been entrusted to them. That's what a steward is. We're talking about the seeds of stewardship. It is my commitment, like I mentioned, to spend time every January-ish to talk about stewardship, because stewardship is more than money. Stewardship is time. It's talent. It's anything that we have been entrusted with. I've got a couple points, 2 points tonight. The first one is, what portion of your time, talent, and treasure are you offering to God? You see, the scripture tells us in Psalm 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's and everything belongs to him. You don't own anything. You may have the pink slip. You may have the bill of sale. You may have burned the deed, but you don't own anything. You don't even own the breath that you're taking. Amen. Well, we all have expectations and demands. We all have non-negotiables. It's the same thing with God. God wants to be number one. He's a jealous God. I need us to grasp this revelation. If you're gonna get anything from this series, you gotta understand our God is jealous. He's jealous about you and for you. And we talked about idolatry and it with relation to stewardship. But our Savior wants to be number one in our lives. Part of being number one in our lives is ensuring that he is involved in the beginning of our time, our talents, our treasure, or our finances. You ever meet somebody that can do something great, you know? Like you have a friend that they can bake really good, they're a cake decorator, and you ask them to make you a cake. You brag about their skills to everybody. You're telling everybody, they're going to make the cake for my son's birthday. It's going to be amazing. It's better than Costco. It's great. And you're telling them all about it. And they show up, you know, and they show up with this just little old, you know, like hostess little thing, you know. And you're disappointed. You're like, wow. Because when they ask you to do something, you know, you go all out. You do a great job. I mean, you spend the extra time and all the resources to make them look good. You know, you're barbecuing for them. They don't even know how to barbecue. They don't even have a barbecue pit. And they want, oh, you need barbecue for me. And you cut all the meat. You get the beans and the chicken and the bread and you do it right. And they just, this is what they give you. You know, sometimes we're that way with the Lord. You know, I find that with living for God, that we're that way. We give Him a portion of us. Just a little bit, just like a piece of the pie, you know. We just give Him a portion of a part of the whole. We share, we give a little bit of the cut to Him. We want to receive, but we are apprehensive or non-committal with the giving part. You know, we desire and like good music, right? A clean building. We desire and like blessings from God. We desire and like free dinners. We desire and like our prayers to be answered. How many can agree with that? Amen. We desire and we like the light bill to be paid. We desire and we like souls in the altar. But are we sowing seed in order to make it happen? And are we doing our part? Are we giving in the offering? Are we bringing souls to church? I got one for you. I can't go a service without saying this. Are we praying? Are we being a witness? Are we being loving? Are we being faithful? Have we checked on the new families of Revival Tabernacle as often as we provide status updates on social media? Well, I don't have time. Let me tell you something. If you got a smartphone, your smartphone will tell you how much time you spend opening certain apps and how much time you spend on your phone. How about reading your Bible for 3 days in a row? Watch what that will do for you. Don't watch any movies. Shut off Netflix. Disconnect from that. Shut your phone off. Just answer it for emergencies or to do business. And read your Bible. Watch what would happen. A lot of us are looking for answers. God's saying, I got the answers. You just got to search me. When you seek me and find me, you search for me with all your heart, you're going to find me. See, that's part of being a seed, planting seed in the ground of stewardship. It's tough. It's not easy, right? Well, has our blessings, notice this, if you're taking notes, write this down. Has our blessings and accumulation of God's favor become selfish instead of selfless? See, some of us forget what it's like to not have baby formula for our baby, right? We've forgotten that God has equipped us with talents and treasures and time to be a blessing and encouragement and a friend to others. Or do we have a consumer mentality where all we do is consume and all we do is take? That all we do is take and we're blessed, but we do not sow seed of our own. So we expect others to have their trees growing and thriving, and we go to their tree and we take their fruit and eat it. In fact, in Jeremiah 17, I want to say it's 11, it gives the analogy of a bird sitting on somebody, it says a partridge, sitting on another, a bird sitting on another bird's eggs and nest, and then saying, oh, they hatched, they're mine. No. Those birds are going to fly away, and they're not yours. We got to put seed in the ground. It's got to take root. It's got to grow. It's got to bear fruit. And there's got to be something that's thriving. The scripture says, you shall know them by their fruit. Amen. It's fruit. Listen to Pastor. Notice this. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins. He's trying the reins to say, hey, you know, let me pull on it a little bit. Let me see what these people are all about. To give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I've been saying it every time I've gotten up here to speak on this topic, but you reap what you sow. You cannot get mad if you don't study and you fail the test. Say, oh yeah, I got a final. You know, remember that in college? You know, oh, I got a final. I'm not going to study. And you go in and you bomb and then you fail the class and you're all mad at the professor. Hey, you knew all you had was a final and a midterm. You got to go to class. You got to get the lesson that he's teaching. You got to get the syllabus so you can pass the class. It's the same thing with the Word of God. We got it's an open book test. We got all the answers. We just got to do what the Word of the Lord says. Notice this. Am I giving to the Lord the first fruits? The first fruits is my best. The first fruit is prime. It's intentional. Not the leftovers. Notice this. This means that I don't stay up all night having a great time on Saturday night. Then I'm so tired that I sleep in and roll over in the bed and make up some lame excuse that I can't be at church or I can't be involved in my ministry because I was up all night having fun. That's not being a good steward. Same thing on your job. You'd make the same mistakes and same poor decisions on your job. That's not being a good steward. Everybody knows you're a Christian. You do everything for the glory of the Lord. You give that owner, you give that boss, you give those customers your best because you're representing the Lord. Somebody say amen. God doesn't want leftovers. God's not interested in sharing. He was committed when he went to the cross. He didn't just say, well, I'm going to just die for the first 100 people in the year 2010 and then the first 2000 in 2018. He said, I'm dying once and for all for everybody, and I cover all sins for everybody. He was putting some seed, and look at, we're reaping the benefits. The apostles, you read Hebrews 11, read the book of Acts, the things they went through. Read Fox's book of martyrs to see what they went through. Guess what? We are not even close to going through what they've gone through. And guess what? They put seed in the ground with their time, their talent, and their treasure, and we're reaping the benefits. What about these men that God spoke to and these ladies that are in the Bible that, you know what? They went through some stuff. They put seed in the ground and were blessed because of it. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Trust me, I'd love to go to everything I get invited to. I would. Every conference, every rally, every invitation I get to preach, I would love to go. Every family gathering, every barbecue, every special event. But I don't, and I can't. You know why? Because my first fruit of ministry is right here. You should expect your pastor to be here as much as he can be here and giving you his very best. You expect that. God expects that of me. And it's the same thing with us. We have to be in the house of God. We got to show up on time to work. We got to make sure we're prepared in our ministries. We got to make sure that we're giving our family time, the quality time that they deserve. It's intentional, right? Remember, children are a heritage of the Lord. Well, they're not yours. God's called me to help you. Therefore, I have to make sure that I am mentally, spiritually, physically, and emotionally ready to preach, teach, counsel, be available, and connected to the Lord so I can do what God has called me to do. Well, but I cannot do that if I'm jet sitting around and doing everything and going here and going there. There will be times. Pastor will be gone. There will be times. I will be gone. You want me to be gone. I know that. But some of us are out of balance. You're out of balance. There's a fine line. You got to be out of balance. You can't be out of balance. Excuse me. You got time and talent and resources for going out of town, fashion, fads, trends, make adjustments to your schedule for leisure. Yet we give God the leftovers of our day or the week. He doesn't want leftovers. That's not being a good steward. We got a desire to be blessed and have the favor of God, but God is saying, hey, you're not giving me anything. You don't even talk to me until you get to church. I've been with you all day long, 24/7, all week long. You don't even talk to me when you get to church. That's not being a good steward. You haven't put anything in the ground. The seeds you planted are not taking root because of the inconsistencies in our lives. You're not praying, you're not worshiping, you're not reading your Bible, you're not giving the offering, you're not paying your tithes, you're not fulfilling your ministry commitments, you're not spending time with your family. Stop being a good steward. Somebody say no bueno. No bueno. And you want God to bless you. And God says, I'm going to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Yeah, I'm going to bless you based on what you're giving me. And you're giving me leftovers, guess what you get? Leftovers. Point two. Are we a cheerful giver? Do we bring our seat of stewardship cheerfully? Listen, I'm going to cover just a portion of this topic. It was covered in detail and a great job last time. But I tithe because it's biblical. It's in the Bible. There's no way around it. I tithe because it pleases God. I tithe because I'm not a thief. In fact, in the penal code, it's penal code 211. It's robbery. Let me know about that. But it's when you look at it, when you break it down, it's a felony. It's a felonious act, and it says force by force or fear. Notice what Malachi 3 and 8 says. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. Right? See, we go back. We skip the offerings part. We talk about the tithing. But you're robbing God in your offering. Verse 9. You're cursed with the curse. Why are you cursed with the curse? Because you've robbed God with tithes and offering. Even the whole nation. Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouses, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven and pour ye out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to contain it. Robbery is forcefully doing what you're doing. It's not accidental. You're intentional. You know what you're doing in tithes and offering. You're a robber. I don't want a robber. I don't want to be a robber. I don't want to hang out with robbers. I'm not a thief. That's what the Lord's calling us. We're not giving, being good stewards with our tithes and offering. He's calling you a robber. I don't want to be identified by a robber. I don't want to be cursed. Right? The scripture says that you're going to be blessed by your actions. I want to be blessed. I want to give God the first fruit. And in tithing and sowing, I'm giving seeds of stewardship. It's in my obedience. God will pour out a blessing that I won't be able to contain. Look, it's about your motive. You do it. It's what's your motive? Are you intentional about what you're doing? Do you do it cheerfully? Are you faithful? And do you watch what will happen when you put seed in the ground? And notice something. When you plant seed in the ground, you ensure, God will ensure that it gets watered and that at the proper time, there'll be a fruit there in order to sustain you over and over again. The seed takes root and it grows and you're blessed because of it. Some of us have got to put seed in the ground. You got to put something in the ground, leave it there, keep doing it, fertilize it by doing it cheerfully, by worshiping, by bringing it to the Lord, and watch what God will do. The same principle applies to our treasure of time and talent. When we have talents for the Lord, do we do it begrudgingly? Do we expect to be placed on a pedestal and receive special recognition every time we do something? In fact, I believe it's in Matthew 6 at the beginning, Matthew 6, 1 through, verse 5, 6 verses. You don't need to go there. But he's talking about, Jesus is talking about when you pray out and open, don't be like the Pharisees because they've received the reward of doing out and open. When you give alms, just do it. Don't expect to do it out and open. Don't let the left hand, the right hand know what you're doing. Just do it, right? Because some people say, oh, I gave this much and I did this much and look at me. I'm not picking on the musicians. I'm just using them as an example because they're on the front. Well, I play the piano and I, you know, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Hey, don't matter. Hey, picking up trash around the church, going to your, mowing your lawn and you're renting a home. That's called being a good steward, right? You're taking care of somebody's willing to rent you something. You take care of it. That's called being a good steward. We need to be put on a pedestal and say, look at me. You've received your reward when you do that. That's what the scripture says. Do you see value in what you bring to the Lord with your worship, your stewardship, your honor and obedience? Do you know that whatever you bring to the Lord should be done in a cheerful manner? In fact, if you need to bring something to the Lord, but if you have an issue with somebody, if I have a problem with Brother Palomar, because he stepped on my foot. He took my parking spot. You know, I've been parking there for 30 years. And I got a problem with him. And I chew him out. And I come to church. And I got a need. And I got a prayer request. And I bring an offering. The scripture says, you got to go make it right with that person. Because I'm not going to honor what you're bringing to me. You're giving me leftovers. You're doing it half-heartedly. He said, hey, don't drop your offering or your treasure, your time, your talent. You go to that person. Say, Brother Palomar, I'm sorry, forgive me. And we exchange and we pray and God forgives us. Guess what? We're blessed. Because God's going to bless us based off the measure that we bless Him and we bless each other. 2 Corinthians 9 and 7 says, every man according as he purposed in his heart. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Notice what God loves. He loves a cheerful giver. And He seeketh a worshiper. Pretty powerful stuff. That means that we cannot get twisted up in our attitudes, our mindsets, our spirits, our hearts, that it's a burden to bring an offering, that it's a burden to use our talent and time for the Lord. But to God, it needs to be a privilege that I get to do what I do for the glory and the honor of the Lord. When I'm writing out that check, when I'm coming to practice, when I'd rather be at the Starbucks, when I'm staying up studying for those kids, when I'm bringing someone to church in my car, you know what? It's a privilege. It's an honor that I get to do what I do for the glory and the honor of the Lord. I do it cheerfully. When I roll out of bed on Sunday morning after a long weekend, and when I'd rather hit snooze and text pastor, I'm not going to be there. I purpose in my mind that my seat of stewardship is more valuable, so I get to church because I know when I get there, I'm going to thrive, that God's going to heal me.
Amen.
Cheerful to rejoice before the Lord. I'm cheerful to teach someone a Bible study. Show someone where the restroom is or the nursery. Not everybody knows that. Not everybody sees the signs. I'm cheerful to be an usher. Open up the church and lock it up. Take a family and need some groceries. Visit somebody in the hospital. Brother Bonham's in the hospital. How many of you have called him? Cheerful to pray with someone in the altar. Listen to this. Acts 20 and 35. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's powerful. Many times it's in the giving where we receive the greatest blessing. It's in the giving where we receive a blessing that's far beyond anything material or tangible. You can't buy some of that stuff that you feel in your spirit and your heart. You can't buy that. That's for the giving. I give in the offering because the offering is out of the free will and love of my heart. It's showing the Lord that I'm thankful and I appreciate it. And I do more than what is required. And it's my benevolence to Him because I want to reap the blessings of God.
Amen.
You cannot reap what you do not sow in everything in your life. You can't. It won't happen. Can't go out. Farmer can't go out there during harvest time and all his other farmer friends are picking cotton and melons, and he can't go out there to his field and put seed in the ground and expect there to be cotton and melons. Can't do that. It don't work that way. He's got to put a seed in the ground at the right time. It's got to take root. It's got to grow. And then there'll be fruit that is bearing. I do it because my heart and my treasure are connected. Right? We know that. I value my relationship with the Lord. I'm spiritually connected to this church. I'm invested in it. I appreciate the privilege to be able to give to the Lord. Notice this. We spend our money and time and talent on what matters to us. Yeah. You could look at your credit card statement. It breaks it down. How much you spend on entertainment, travel. It breaks it down. It puts you a pie chart. It'll tell you. You could see where what you value the most. Look at your life. Look at your hobbies. Your leisure. Look at this. Look at your closet. Come on, somebody. I won't start talking about shoes. I'll leave that alone. Look at your vacations. Look at the books you read, the toys, the tools, the gadgets you have, the places you go, the things you do on your day off. That's where your treasure's at. Where or how you spend your money and time. It tells a lot about you. If you'd rather spend time with people at work than come at home and spend time with the people that you love or supposed to love, that's where your treasure's at. Tells a lot about you. God matters the most to me, so I honor him with my time, talent, and treasure. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. The more you give to the Lord, the more he's going to bless you. Notice this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly, this is powerful, shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. That means you give of your time, talent, and treasure as God has been good to you. You do what you can. The Apostle Paul is saying, get consumed with the spirit of giving. Your generosity should match God's generosity as much as you can. It'll never be equal. You'll never get to that point, but you strive. As God has been good to you, you do everything you can to, I'll use a modern day term, pay it forward. Somehow, pay it forward. Remember, everything we do is for the glory and the honor of the Lord. Matthew 25:23 says, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. If you can't handle what little God has given you right now, how can you handle more? You're not even proving that you're a good steward of what you got now. Or maybe you are proving that you're managing and you're doing a great job. And God's saying, I got a blessing and I'm about to pour it out. You're not going to even be able to contain it. See, it's not all bad. Right? It's a principle. What I'm trying to teach us is a principle. I don't want us to think about stewardship as money. I want us to think of stewardship beyond money, that it's time and it's treasure and talent. That it's anything that we have and we value. A lot of times we're letting, like I talked about, I'm not going to re-preach a couple Wednesdays ago. We let things that are subtle get in between us and God of our time, talent, and treasure. Mm-mm. You know, there were times in Kerman, I was an assistant pastor for 13 years in Kerman. I didn't like doing some of the things that my pastor asked me to do. I felt I was overqualified to vacuum the church at 6 a.m. in the morning on a Sunday. Why? There's 80 other people there. Why would you call me? But my pastor asked me to. And so I did it. Sometimes I was grumpy when I did it. Sometimes I would look at the church cleaning schedule and say, oh, that was them. Okay, I see how it is. But I was available. See, don't look at Brother Bonham and Brother Jurazic and think they have it easy, because they don't. They have it hard. In fact, they're the biggest servants in the church, because being a minister means to be a servant. And they didn't get to where they were, and I didn't get to where I am because I went to school and I got a degree and somebody said, well, you know, your dad's a pastor, so you're going to be a pastor. No, I had to chart out my own road. It wasn't easy. It's still not easy. But I had to learn the principle, Brother Charlie, of being a good steward. I had to pour the water on my pastor's hands, like the prophet, before I could reap some of the benefits of my own ministry. You know, and let me give you an example. I'm going to breathe a little bit longer than I normally am tonight, just maybe another 15 minutes more. There were times that in between, Brother Phil, you would understand, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, there were I would not be on the schedule for anything, because I was working 12-hour days, 6 days a week, and I just needed to get to church, needed to be with my family. There were many times I wouldn't even eat dinner until after church. But part of being a good steward is having that conversation with my pastor and saying, this is the way it is. What can we do? I need to be in church. I got to maintain my personal devotion. Being a good steward wouldn't be good for me to get up behind the pulpit and minister, because I'm stretched for just this 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. That's called being a good steward. Sometimes you have to do that kind of stuff. Sometimes you got to do it. Let me give you an example of the blessings of God, of stewardship. It was probably 15 years ago. I was driving in my car and I was in Fresno, and I saw four, maybe it was five, apostolic Pentecostal ladies at a gas station. I was at a stoplight, and I obviously could tell something was wrong with their car. They had the hood open. It was an older car. I was with my friend who was a childhood friend. I've known him since I was 9 years old, and we went to elementary, junior high, high school, and college together. He was sitting with me in the car, and I said, hey, we got to go check on those ladies. And he kind of looked at me kind of all crazy. So we make a U-turn, we pull in the gas station. And I recognized who the lady was. She was a pastor's wife, and she was in tears on the phone with her husband. They were at a special service, and she heard a big crack in the engine, and they were out of town, obviously. So I fill up my car, I hand her my keys, and I said, tell your husband to call me on Monday. We're standing there at the gas station, and we don't have, my buddy and I, and she gets in the car. We don't have a car. So I call Sister Pinero and his wife. They were together. Said, hey, come pick us up. Pick us up. My buddy's just standing there looking at me like I'm crazy. And would you know that I sowed seed, and I put seed in the ground, and it was my personal car. And would you know, from that point on, for 10 years, I had a company car after that with a gas card, all maintenance, for 10 years. I had five brand new cars in 10 years. Brand new car, meaning I either went to the dealership and picked it out, or I got to tell what color interior, like I was buying it my own. That's how they did it. They drop it off at your house or whatever with the keys, brand new car. Some of them were SUVs. For 10 years, that means every 2 years I got a brand new car. You know why? I'm not great. I'm not awesome. but I put some seed. I wanted to be a good steward. I didn't expect that. But God, you think about that. A lot of car payments, right? Brand new car, a lot of car payments. Take it in, get new oil change, car washes, anything you want. The company paid for it. That's called God will take care of you. If you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. Come on, somebody. But what are we putting in the ground? What kind of seed are we putting in the ground? Notice this. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Yeah. I like the benefits of praying and God answering my prayers. Anybody like that?
Yeah, amen.
I like the benefits of a heated church, a nice parking lot. There's some benefits of serving the Lord. In fact, David talks about it. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. For who forgiveth thine iniquities. That would just be enough. But notice, who healeth all thy diseases. That would be enough. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. You know what? There's benefits to serving the Lord. There's a lot of things that God does for us. We have no clue what he's doing. He's working on it. He's taking care of it. And we don't even have any idea. It's unbeknownst to us, the stuff that he did. Yeah. Some of you are supposed to be dead right now. Should have been dead. Some of you should be filled with cancer. Some of you, your ancestors and relatives, your parents died when they were your age. And look, you're right here in the house of God. You ought to sow some seed of stewardship, of worship, praise, thanksgiving, finances, talent, making cookies for your neighbor that's sick. Hey, God's blessed you with time off. You're retired. What are we doing? Hey, are you mentoring younger people? Are you investing your time in other people's children? What has God called you to do? Let me tell you something. What you have is plenty, and God can take small things and little things and do something great with them. Let me remind you of the fish and the loaves, the little boy's lunch in John 6:9. How about the lady with a little bit of oil? How about the dust from the ground? And God formed man from the dust of the ground. Let me see you try to do that. Right? We can make mud. Play-Doh. But God formed man from the dust of the ground. How about Moses' staff? Yeah. Part of the Red Sea. Water came out of the rock. Threw it on the ground. And God did miracles. It's a stick. It's a cane. Just a big one. Like Elder Dominguez. Just one of those staffs. That's all it is. God did amazing things with the staff. How about the slingshot with David and 5 stones? He only needed one. How about this? How about Esther? Good looking Esther. Beautiful. God used her. How about Samson with his strength? Yeah. We got to plant seeds of stewardship, but the musicians would come. Notice this. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If you're taking notes, write that verse down. Honor the Lord with thy substance. It's a powerful verse. It says honor. That means to be heavy with it. Be glorious. It says honor the Lord. Not your boss. Not the church. Not the pastor. Not the loan. Right? It says honor the Lord. So this is what this means is so when I get a loan or I borrow money, I'm a good steward by keeping my commitment and honoring the loan payment that I agreed to. Even if you didn't understand the fine print and you signed it. That's your bad. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Being a good steward means that if I'm given a task at work, school, or church, I do my best whether or not anyone is watching. Remember Joseph in the Bible? He was a good steward. He was a good steward in prison. And he was blessed. Being a good steward means that we're accountable. We informed the ministry leader we cannot make it to practice or church. It's called being respectful and honoring God because they're trying to be a good steward of the talent or the time that God has given them and trying to be a good representative of the ministries that they're leading and represent our revival tabernacle. It applies to our job. The same principle applies to our job, our marriage, our friendships and our relationships and our kids. I mentioned it earlier, but I'm going to give you a Bible verse for it. We do it with our kids. Psalm 127:3 says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Sowing seeds of stewardship has to determine is that item Vacation, new outfit, home, dinner, watch, phone. Is it a need or a want? Or are you just trying to keep up with the trends and fashions that are going to be gone in 10 years anyways? We might as well just save your stuff. Lose a little weight. You'll be able to wear it in 10 years. Well, I can work overtime to be able to afford it. So I got a principle for you. So in working overtime in order to maintain the purchased item, will you miss church? Will you miss family time? Is your relationship with the Lord going to be strained? Are you going to have to get out of ministry involvement? Is your family time going to suffer? Is your health and wellness going to be affected? How about your time, your personal time? If you have to answer yes to any of those, it's probably not a good idea. It's not being a good steward. So we stand this evening, trying to be mindful of the time. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. 1 Peter 4:10, Sister Savannah, if you could put these up. As every man had received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Some of you have the gift of intercessory prayer. We need that. We got to have more of that. Are you letting God allow you to use your gift? Some of you have the gift of musical talent. Some of you have the gift of giving, sponsoring kids to go to junior camp. Some of you have the gift of serving. I commend you for that. But some of us have gifts and talents that we're hiding them. We can't do that. Let me share something with you. I'm going to close with this. I was laying in bed thinking, meditating, trying to bring you something tangible that I want you to get a hold of. I needed some kind of just something, and felt the Lord speak to me. You're going to laugh, but he said, Chick-fil-A. So I started thinking about Chick-fil-A. And you're going to see what I mean when I explain to you some things. Chick-fil-A is like the In-N-Out of chicken sandwiches. We're going to be getting one here in Santa Maria. They're building it. And you're going to see what I'm talking about. I want you to listen to Pastor Pinero. It's a family-owned business based out of Atlanta. It's the largest quick-service chicken restaurant chain in the U.S. 46 states, 2,000 restaurants with over 100,000 associates, employees. Let me explain something to you. When you go home tonight, I want you to go to their website and look. Their mission statement doesn't say anything about chicken or customers or making money. This is Chick-fil-A. This is from their website. Their corporate purpose, to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us and to have a positive influence on all who come into contact with Chick-fil-A. If I had a microphone, I would drop it. This is a company. Has nothing to do with making money, shareholders, customers, or chicken. Guess what? They're closed on Sundays so that employees can have a day of rest to spend with family and worship. That's on their website. The owner and founder was involved in ministry in his church for over 50 years. Listen to this. Despite being closed on Sundays, Chick-fil-A earns more money per restaurant than any other American fast food company. You take care of God's business, He'll take care of yours. They're not even open on Sundays. Come on, somebody. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. We gotta be good stewards. Would you be a good steward right now? Would you lift your hands up to the Lord as Sister Ellen blesses us with song? Let's just thank the Lord tonight. Come on. I tried to teach. I tried to slow it down. I tried to give you something that you can take with you, tangible tonight. Come on. Let's thrive. Let's talk to the Lord. We're gonna have to give an account of everything we do. Come on, the altar's open. Would you come and find a place to pray? Come on, Pastor went about 7 minutes over what he normally does, but that's okay. I feel it was worth it tonight. We got time. Let's talk to the Lord. The altar should be full tonight, being stewards. We owe everything to the Lord. We owe everything to the Lord tonight. Let rain. Oh, Jesus. Help me to be a steward, a better steward. Help me to get out of my comfort zone. Let it rain. Jesus. Jesus. Let it rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Open the floodgates of
heaven. Oh God.
Let
Come on, you
want to
be blessed?
Rain.
You got to be a blessing so you can be blessed. You want to be blessed?
Rain.
You got to give the Lord your worship, praise, time.
Open
He's going to bless you based off of the measure of your worship, your stewardship.
Feel the rains of your love.
Ha.
Feel the winds of your the heartbeat of heaven. Let us hear.
You got to make things right in your heart.
Feel
make it right in your heart.
Feel the rains of your love. Feel the winds.
Come on, we're still in the month of January.
Spirit.
It's the last day of the month.
You,
it's not too late to start the year off right.
Let us hear.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.